step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's get it started in here.
Here's to the doctors and their healing work. Here's to the loved ones in their care.
So here's the story, folks.
Here's to the strangers on the streets tonight.
Or hit it.
Here's to the struggles of the silent poor. Here's to the closing of the age. Here's to you, my love. With blessings from above, not of the day again.
She's sticking it to me.
Yeah.
City's News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Producer Robbie Rosenhaus in, filling in for John Justice, who's out the next couple of days before a July 4th holiday that we all will be celebrating. We'll be back together next Monday. But for this morning, I have producer Brett by my side, and we have a lot to get to before we do. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We got a lot to get to this morning. We have guests galore. We have AK Kamara coming in studio for the 8 a.m. hour to react to a ton, including the big news of the day, which we'll get to in just a second here, the Supreme Court immunity ruling for the former president. We'll listen back to some interviews that John has done over the past couple of weeks, including one that really caught my ear with Charlie Kirk, who, again, you've probably heard of, but he is the founder of Turning Point USA, also the author of a new book, Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West. So Charlie Kirk joined John just about a week and a half ago, and he had a really enlightening conversation about where the country is headed and where we've been, and had some really poignant thoughts about just kind of how the right wing has been kind of overshadowed by what the left is doing, and how basically in the next couple of years, things may be changing for the better when it comes to the youth vote and the youth movement, and a lot of younger people moving towards the GOP. Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien was nice enough to answer my text yesterday. And with this ruling coming down, he will join us at the top of the hour, at the top of the 7 a.m. hour. Jeff will have some thoughts on the ruling yesterday, Trump versus the United States, which we'll get to in just a second here. And like I said, AK Kamara will be joining us in the 8 a.m. hour. We'll listen back to some other interviews, including one that John had with Congressman, former Congressman from Wisconsin, Scott Klug, just about a week ago. But not to bury the lead any longer, the big news of the day, and it's going to be number one in our rundown, which will come up at the bottom of the hour, and that's the Supreme Court immunity ruling for Trump. And what does it mean? I mean, what does it really mean? In a historic decision, the Supreme Court ruled Monday that former presidents have at least some immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts in office, no matter their politics, policy, or party, but stipulated that the protection doesn't cover everything. The court's three liberal justices dissented. Monday's decision reshapes the institution of the presidency and could lead to stark long-term consequences for American democracy, Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote. While the lower court has the job of working out the specific parameters of the high court's decision, one thing is clear: for Trump, the ruling is an absolute victory. He and his legal team have sought to dismiss or delay the four ongoing criminal cases against him. And this latest Supreme Court ruling makes it hard to see how the 2020 election case could go to trial before next election day. Soon after the court's decision was released, the former president declared in all caps on his social media network, "Big win for our Constitution and our democracy." proud to be an American. Now, in short, what does the ruling say? And we're going to get into this at the top of the hour with Jeff O'Brien, but the heart of the Trump versus United States was a legally untested question that has not come before the high court until now, whether a president could be immune from criminal prosecution for official acts while in office. The president enjoys no immunity for his unofficial acts, and not everything the president does is official. The president is not above the law, said Chief Justice John Roberts in the majority opinion. But Roberts added, the system of separated powers designed by framers has always demanded an energetic, independent executive. The president, therefore, may not be prosecuted for exercising his core constitutional powers, and he is entitled, at a minimum, to a presumptive immunity from prosecution for all his official acts, end quote. Now, the court's three liberal justices argued that making a president immune from prosecution makes him, quote, a king above the law. That was the phrase that was going around yesterday after the ruling had dropped, that basically all the news outlets had picked up on, that it's a king above the law. Let the president violate the law. Let him exploit the trappings of his office for personal gain. Let him use his official power for evil ends, Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote, because if he knew that he may one day face liability for breaking the law, he may not be as bold and fearless as we would like him to be. That is the majority's message today. And we'll get into a lot more of this coming up at the top of the hour about how the court defines an unofficial versus an official act and what the court said about Trump and the government's arguments and the dissent. And we have a bunch to get into today. Again, Robbie Rosenhaus filling in for John Justice this morning. We'll be back tomorrow morning as well. Producer Brett alongside A.K. Kamara coming up in the 8 a.m. hour, conservative online opinionator and RNC committee man. And he'll join me to react to this news and much more. Next up, coming up, we have a replay of an interview that John did with Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA and author of Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West. After that, we'll have the rundown. Jeff O'Brien coming up at the top of the hour. An action-packed show today. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. You can leave me a talkback. We'll have the talkback of the day sponsored by JTR Roofing coming up in just a couple of hours here. Go on the iHeartRadio app. Leave us up to a 30-second message, and perhaps we'll play it on the air. A lot to get to today. A lot of guests. Producer Brett alongside me. We're live on Twin Cities News Talk till 9 a.m. Robbie Rosenhaus filling in for John Justice on Twin Cities News Talk. City News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM, 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Leave me a talkback on the iHeartRadio app. Leave us up to a 30-second message, and perhaps you can be in the mix for the talkback of the day. The news of the day is the Supreme Court's immunity decision for the former president, and we'll also talk about that with lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien at the top of the hour. He's coming up at 7, coming up at 8, A.K. Kamara, conservative online opinionator and RNC committeeman. We'll talk about the Supreme Court's immunity for Donald Trump, also about Biden's debate performance and what possibly could be next for the sitting president. But right now, we're going to listen back to an interview John did with Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA and author of The Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West. It was quite an enlightening conversation. We'll have the rundown on the back end of this, but right now it's Charlie Kirk with John Justice here on Twin Cities News Talk.
Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA, has got a new book, Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West. Charlie, I've watched so many of your videos and your college campus events. I feel like I know you. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And love Minnesota. Honored to be there and on radio here. And lots happening. Thanks so much.
Let's start with the book. I have some questions about the events that you do. I want to pick your brain a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about your new book, Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West. It's in the title, but talk a little bit about the idea for the book and what you're hoping that people ultimately take away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, we have to understand that the woke, or the Marxists, which are interchangeable terms, they've taken over almost every institution in the West. And right now, we need a counter-revolution to try to take back our civilization, our way of life. You know this in Minnesota. I mean, they control everything. And we go and we examine what exactly do they believe, where do they come from, for a portion of the book. And then, more thoroughly, we go into detail of exactly how we win. And it requires a mindset shift, an attitude shift. It requires micro-action and macro-action. We get into a lot of specific things that the president can do, that people in states can do, especially red states, as far as passing legislation and holding county and state level officials accountable and getting better ones elected. So this is really a comprehensive book of diagnosing the problem, focusing our energies and our efforts where we think it really matters the most. And so, yeah, the book is Right Wing Revolution. It's about standing up for this country at a very consequential time. And, you know, it's interesting. We see this happening across the Western world. I didn't know it when I was writing the book or getting it ready to publish, but we're seeing in France. We're seeing in Belgium. We're seeing it in Germany, in the Netherlands. We're seeing it. We saw it in Argentina. We saw it in El Salvador. Almost all across the Western world, we're seeing this idea of a right-wing revolution. Actually, in Canada yesterday, new polls show that Justin Trudeau, his party, is trailing Paul Avera's party in Canada rather significantly. So it seems as if there's a course correction happening all across the Western world. And the ideas of mass migration and easy money and the trans agenda and all that nonsense is being routinely rejected by the citizens of the West. And we kind of detail in the book exactly how we can make that an even bigger impact, how we can sustain it, and how we can take back our civilization.
It's interesting when you look at the polling right now for the presidential election and some of these polls. I mean, we had the Iowa one that just came out, some 18-point lead there. Even here in Minnesota, there's some polls showing that Trump is leading. The dynamics have changed drastically, you know, just relating to, I think, how people are viewing Trump and certainly how they're viewing Biden at this point in time, talking with Charlie Kirk. I'm curious, do you think that Biden makes it all the way to being on the ballot come November, given the trajectory that he's currently on right now?
The Daily Mail had a really serious piece yesterday written by Charlie Sperling, who's a very well-respected reporter. And as soon as he published, the story essentially was that the Pelosi's, the Schumer's, and the Obamas are working together for a plot to get rid of Obama, to get rid of Biden. And I was really taken back by that, because that's a very well-sourced article. He's very well-respected, and he wouldn't just throw that up. That's not tabloid stuff. We're seeing more and more rumblings. That Iowa poll is an earthquake. That is the best pollster in Iowa, A-plus rating of a pollster in Iowa, and it shows that Donald Trump was up 18 points in Iowa. I'm sorry, he might win Minnesota at those rates. Yeah. I know that might sound crazy for people, but the things happen regionally. At the very least, there's no world. Even Meghan McCain agreed by saying this yesterday, where Trump wins Iowa by 18 and you lose Wisconsin, and with that is the White House. So I'm torn on. This is a lot harder than I think people realize. Pulling a candidate is something that has not happened in the modern era. It has not happened, I think, for over 120 years. It would be an embarrassment for the Democrat Party after they run all these ads and they've insisted that he's mentally fine. They will look like liars, and they'll look, it's in total disarray. Question is, who do you replace him with? Is it Kamala Harris, who's even less popular in certain parts of the country? My guess, it's going to actually be Gretchen Whitmer, not Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom's actually not that well-liked in the parts of the world where Democrats need to do better, such as Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. If it's Gretchen Whitmer, she'd be a serious candidate. But understand, she'd have to really introduce herself to the American people and win them over and say that I'm not just another Joe Biden. Because what we're noticing in the polling is that Joe Biden, he underperforms an extra like 5 to 7 points just because he's terrible and awful and not mentally competent. But the entire country is against the Democrat Party right now. That's what's so fascinating about the polling. So if they pull him, it'll be absolute chaos in Chicago or the events that lead to it. They will look like an embarrassment. They will be in total disarray. There will be factions that will be very upset. And the only way that they can actually pull him is if Joe Biden agrees to it or his team does. Now, they might threaten him or they might do, you know, mafioso tactics, but it would require Joe Biden essentially saying, I'm done, and releasing his delegates. The way that they did their primary is that it has, on the first ballot, it has to be Joe Biden unless he steps aside.
Talking with Charlie Kirk, the website's TPUSA, the Charlie Cook Kirk Show. The new book is Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West. Like I mentioned at the start of our conversation, watching your campus videos, I'm curious, how often does it happen when you get into an exchange with these young people, with these college students, where you actually see the light bulb, you know, the light bulb go off, where you feel like, I'm actually reaching this particular individual. This person's getting what I'm saying, and you can get into a relevant exchange. Does that happen very often?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and a lot of the full-form videos we post online are where we really have meaningful discussions and dialogues. Obviously, the best-known ones are the ones where I'm, you know, debating awfully confident lunatics.
Right.
But the yes, all the time. But more importantly than the actual person I'm debating, which is a portion of it, it's the people watching. There are thousands of people that will come up to my debates and listen, and they'll stand there for an hour or 2 hours and listen very intently. This is part of what I talk about in the book, and people can find it at 45books.com. That's 45books.com, is that young people are increasingly going right-wing. Gen Z is going to be the most conservative generation in quite some time. Younger voters are, especially young men, are more conservative than young men have been in 50 years. So we're seeing a course correction away from the typical kind of socialist left-wing direction in a way that nobody would have predicted. We've been working on it very hard at Turning Point for 12 years now, and I think we're finally kind of hitting a fever pitch of what that looks like, and hopefully on the Turning Point action side, we'll see that it will materialize an electoral victory in November.
How much do you enjoy doing those campus visits? Like, I mean, like, I'm curious to sort of, you know, get into a bit of, you know, your perspective when you go and you take on. I mean, you have to have a level of confidence when you're going to be out there talking with, you know, with individuals asking a lot of questions. But I'm curious, you know, how much enjoyment does Charlie Kirk get in those instances?
I get a lot. I mean, I love teaching. I love, you know, instructing people, and I love dialoguing in pursuit of truth. And, you know, I love hearing different ideas, and it strengthens you. I mean, understand that I go on these campuses, I'll have no phone, no notes, no assistance. Anyone can film me at any time and publicize the debates, and I'll sit there for 3 hours, and anybody can bring up any note. They can bring up a professor. That makes you a better debater, right? I mean, so I enjoy it in the sense of it's really good. It makes you stronger. It makes you tougher. It makes you have to be really precise with your word selection and your arguments. So I enjoy it from that perspective. It's made me far better equipped to be able to kind of get into the debate combat, if you will, against the left. And in addition to the 3 hours of radio I do every day. And so this fall, actually, we're doing the most ambitious campus tour we've ever done. We're going to be hitting 15 campuses in like 40 days, in addition to everything else we're doing. But it's going to be a big fall, so we're looking forward to it.
45books.com is where you can get Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West. How long have you been doing those campus visits for?
About 10 years, about a decade. So I've visited over 150 campuses across the country. I have spoke at UM down in downtown Minneapolis. So I've done that. I plan to return, but yeah, I've spoke all across the country. I've obviously visited and spoken all 50 states. I think I've done a campus visit in 40 states. So my goal is to do all, I've actually done Hawaii, to do a campus visit in every single state, which would be really cool. So I've seen every element and every perspective of American college life. And my previous book was The College Scam, which is a whole different topic. But that one is proving to be awfully correct given recent events we've seen on campuses. So, but yeah, the Turning Point USA is a juggernaut. We're super blessed by the impact and the work that we've been able to do. And now my focus primarily via Turning Point Action and Turning Point PAC is to try to get President Trump reelected.
Just a couple of things, and then we'll cut you loose. And thanks so much for the time this morning. Again, speaking with Charlie Kirk, the new book is Right Wing Revolution, available at 45books.com. Have you seen a shift in terms of the students and their engagement with you over the course of the past decade?
Without a doubt. I mean, so as I mentioned, that young people are the most conservative that we've seen them in the last 50 years, young men in particular. We can't find rooms big enough to fit all of the students that want to attend our Turning Point USA events or attend what we're doing on campus. The energy and the momentum is really remarkable and noteworthy. And I got to tell you that one of the elements here is that we haven't given up. We make very compelling arguments. We challenge the left, and we talk about that in the book, Right Wing Revolution, which is if we're serious about winning, we must go into places where we're not always welcome. We must play offense. We must go into these communities and challenge them, regardless of whether we are welcome or whether that, you know, we are always invited. And so that's part of the blueprint, if you will, on how to defeat the woke and to save Western civilization. And so very excited to be able to share some of my best practices and life experience and I'm not saying that we're going to win the youth vote this cycle, but we're going to do a lot better. That's for sure.
Last question for you. We talked about it earlier this week. You had the Surgeon General wanting warning labels on social media apps, and I don't want to get into that aspect of it. You've certainly been able to use social media to, you know, put out the conservative message in what you do. Do you think the GOP is finally catching up on the technology front? It seems as if the left has kind of dominated in that field. Are conservatives doing better in tapping into the technology and utilizing it?
Oh, yeah, I think we're doing much better. And, I mean, just I'm not a huge fan of TikTok at all, but you have to use what's in front of you and try to win. On my TikTok, I have 17 million views a day and well over 50 million young people that view my stuff a week. And Instagram, the numbers are even crazier. So, I mean, I'm not a big fan of social media as an idea. I think it's actually very destructive, but I also want to save the country, and it has some, obviously, redeemable value. It's been very good for us. The show is, you know, super popular, praise God. And, you know, social media is a way to try to reach millions and millions of other young people. And so we're definitely seeing more and more conservatives wake up, more and more conservatives speak out. And, you know, that's another element that I talk about in the book, which is you might not have to like the rules in front of you, but you might have to use the rules to save the civilization.
Well, you know, God bless to you, Charlie Kirk. Again, the website's Charlie Kirk Show, TPUSA, but you can get the new book, Right Wing Revolution, How to Beat the Woke and Save the West, 45books.com. And again, thank you so much for what you do and spending some time with us this morning. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
That was Charlie Kirk with John Justice just last week. Quite a fun conversation they had about his new book and what possibly could be next for the youth vote, as we are just a couple of months away here from the big election. Robbie Rosenau is filling in for John Justice here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. We have the rundown next. Jeff O'Brien coming up at the top of the hour. AK Kamara coming up in the 8 a.m. hour. Some more Best of John Justice segments all around the corner. But the rundown's next right here on Twin Cities News Talk. And today's rundown, as always, is brought to you by the Sandvold Financial Group. First up.
Number 5.
DFL State Senator Nicole Mitchell has challenged the grounds for her April arrest on a first-degree burglary charge, and her scheduled Monday hearing was postponed a week. In a Becker County District Court filing by her defense attorneys, Mitchell seeks to dismiss the charge against her on the grounds that she did not commit a crime while inside the Detroit Lakes home of her father's widow, identified only as CM in court documents. The hearing was rescheduled for 10 a.m. on July 9th, but that will likely change because the prosecution has filed to remove Judge Douglas Clark from the case. In advance of the hearing, Mitchell's attorneys asked investigators for a forensic analysis of the computer that the alleged victim claims was stolen on April 22nd. The request seeks to determine if and when the computer was connected to a Woodbury Internet provider address before Mitchell's arrest. Mitchell, a freshman DFL senator, lives in and represents Woodbury. Her attorneys are also seeking the alleged victim's medical records pertaining to dementia-related conditions, including Alzheimer's disease. Mitchell's attorney said in the filing that they need the additional information to challenge the charge against her. The senator's arrest shocked colleagues and created disruptive tension through the end of the 2024 legislative session. Mitchell returned to the Senate floor a week after her arrest, and GOP senators have filed an ethics complaint against her. That's still pending. When she was arrested, Mitchell was dressed in black and admitted to entering her stepmother's house through a sliding basement window. The criminal complaint said a backpack containing a laptop was wedged in the open basement window. In a phone interview Monday, one of her attorneys, Dane Decree, said, "We believe there will be evidence that shows she was in possession of this computer long before the night of the incident." Now, in other action on the case, Becker County Attorney Brian McDonald filed a motion Monday to remove Clark from the case. McDonald wasn't required to provide a reason. Each side in the case is given one opportunity to remove a judge. Clark was reprimanded in April by the State Board on Judicial Standards, among other things. The board found that Clark's aggressive demeanor has caused attorneys to regularly remove him from hearing their cases. The board said that Clark raised his voice, failed to remain impartial, and inappropriately interrupted witnesses in court. So the main word here, the password, is delay. I mean, I think that that Mitchell's side is trying to delay this as long as possible. And if you tune into tomorrow's program, we're going to play back a conversation from the end of the legislative session that Representative Walter Hudson and Senator Eric Lucero were in studio with John, and they had quite a bit to say about that, plus what Minnesota's legislature accomplished in this past session, and we'll listen back to that tomorrow. But as for the Mitchell case here, it seems like there's a long way to go, and with this judge now being in limbo, that seems to be the next step before we get some more news on this situation.
Number four.
Are you a classic rock fan, Producer Brett?
I dabble.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you may know some of these bands here, and potentially, you're not going to get to see them this summer because we've all seen a big name actor, too. Yeah, I kind of buried the lead there. Get pulled from a lineup in the days leading up to a music festival. But this might be the first time, Brett, the entire roster of headliners has been canceled. Citing unforeseen circumstances based on the present economic climate, the organizers of Northern Minnesota's biggest rock festival, Moondance Jam in Walker, announced to ticket holders on Monday that all the national acts have been canceled on the schedule for their 33rd annual run, July 18th to 20th. The fest is scheduled to go on with just local acts performing, and for now, without refunds being offered. Some of the names that have been acts on the schedule for Moondance 2024 include Creed. Brad, I know you're you're a Creed fan club member. Switchfoot.
Sure.
I know of them. I don't know a lot of their music. Is Switchfoot good?
I'm actually more familiar with Switchfoot than a lot of Creed songs.
Okay. Well, that's so obviously. I mean, we're calling Creed and Switchfoot classic rock, by the way. And those two bands were popular in the 90s, right? I mean, I know that there was a song that that made a parody of When Did Motley Crue Become Classic Rock? Well, Motley Crue is classic rock.
That's 1985.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's classic rock. I think when we're getting to the 90s, I don't think that that's called classic rock. I would say 70s and 80s.
When the song 1985 came out, that gap from the time, I think it was like 2004 to 1985.
Yeah.
If we did a song of that now, it would be like going back to like 2006 something like that, which is scary.
I like Bowling for Soup. And while they were
and
not.
And you like the band. Too.
Yes, I do. Well, give yourself a.
Thank you.
Well, whatever's left of the classic rock bands, Foghat, Kansas, Blue Oyster Cult, and The Sweet, well, they won't be there either. Now, those are bands that I've definitely heard of. 3-day general admission
the
tickets were.
Did Fear the Reaper.
Yes, clearly, yes. Burn out the day, burn out the night.
Yeah.
3-day general admission tickets, that's a band from Long Island, by the way, ding. 3-day general admission tickets were priced at $200 and are actually selling at that price, according to the festival's website. This is just a cluster. Now being billed as Camp Moondance instead of Moondance Jam, I do feel bad for these people because I'm sure that there were behind-the-scenes kind of things that played out here. The backup roster features some cover bands that are from the local area. A festival representative answering the event's general telephone line on Monday afternoon declined to answer ticket holders' questions about refunds. The festival's owner, Kathy Bilo, later responded to questions from the Star Tribune, but left uncertainty over folks getting their money back. We are working through ticket refund details. There are a lot of moving pieces that we're working through at this time. She said in an email, my hands are tied about saying most anything at this time. She admitted poor ticket sales were the culprit for the lineup cancellation.
Wow.
So there you go. So I guess not too many people were clamoring to see take a slow ride with Foghat or carry on with Kansas. These bands, I mean, yes, they're legendary bands, but at what point does their kind of popularity just kind of fade out? And I guess obviously in Walker, Minnesota, they will not be performing this summer.
Number three.
Well, what will be happening this summer and in 2 days is some fireworks. And after last year's laser show and 5 years of no fireworks, the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board will host the return of Red, White, and Boom. RES Pyro, this summer's fireworks supplier from Belle Plaine, is planning a 16-minute show, according to Robin Smothers, media relations manager for the Park Board. The pyrotechnics will be deployed from a secure space between Boom Island and the Stone Arch Bridge. She said the exact aerial displays are currently a proprietary secret, but the show, scheduled for 10 p.m. on July 4th, will be a thrilling, long-awaited one. Because of the pandemic, Brett, the park board has led smaller family-focused celebrations in city parks. In 2023, it sponsored a laser show on Boom Island set to patriotic music. Not everyone's a fan of fireworks because of the noise, Smothers said, but the park board heard the people missed the fireworks display. Our events team worked hard to bring that back, she said. The Stone Arch Bridge is undergoing a 2-year construction, so visitors won't be able to walk across it. The park board isn't doing any programming on the east side of the river. The live music and food trucks, which will begin at 6 p.m., will be on the west side, at Waterworks at Milroons Park and the parking lot of Stone Arch Bridge. As usual, there won't be any seating, so bring chairs or blankets. The parking lot of Boom Island, which used to be a viewing site, will be open to only people with disability parking certificates. Now all that needs to happen is for the skies to stay clear. The park board can't control that, but it will post weather updates. And as of this morning, the weather forecast for July 4th is not great, but again, a 60% chance of rain, but that's earlier in the day, so hopefully later in the day the skies will clear up. Brad, are you more of a fireworks guy or a laser show guy?
I need to grab my soapbox here.
Here we go. Stand
up on this.
Okay.
I'm sick, and this is real easy for someone to say that lives in the apartment alone with no pets. I'm sick of the pearl clutching about fireworks. I'm real tired of it. It's so loud, and people are doing it for so long. And, my dog is scared. Oh, we can't have fireworks. Like, it's a couple days out of the year.
Right.
Like, just let people have fun. Yeah. Like, it was illegal for the longest time in my home state because, like, one stoplight town burned down in, like, 1934, and so they outlawed them. Ugh. It took forever to get fireworks back. I mean, there's always people, like, every year.
Yeah.
Like, and I guarantee you we're going to get talkbacks today. Oh, I hate the fireworks. They're too loud. They're disrupting the peace. Just deal with it. It's America, man. Let's celebrate one of the greatest achievements of world history. Come on.
For the longest time, and I believe it's still to be fact, although I'm not going to Google it because I really don't care that much. Just growing up in New York, I knew New York and New Jersey definitely did not have fireworks legal because I specifically remember going to Pennsylvania. We had a house in the Pocono Mountains, and we'd go up there once a summer, and we would pick up fireworks to bring back home. I believe it was legal in Pennsylvania, but not in New Jersey or in New York. But I love fireworks shows. Like I just think I love going to baseball games when they have post game fireworks. I think that's great. I know they're going to have other 4th of July fireworks celebrations going on around the state of Minnesota, and we'll have more news on those celebrations coming up in tomorrow's rundown.
Number 2.
A story near and dear to Brett and I's heart. The fast food wars gained a new participant on Monday as Sonic Drive-In.
This is not the taco wars in Blaine.
No, this isn't the taco wars in Blaine. This isn't the new chicken wars in Blaine that Brett, that John likes to talk about. No, this is a new fast food wars that gained a new participant on Monday as Sonic Drive-In rolled out a value menu consisting of entrees, snacks, and desserts. Before we get to the Sonic menu, Brett, you consume a lot of television, and I believe over the last, I would say, month or two, we've been inundated with commercials on value meals. I mean, whether it be McDonald's, whether it be Wendy's, whether it be Burger King, now I'm going to talk about Sonic here. Do you feel like you're getting more and more kind of value deals kind of thrown at you?
Of course.
Yeah.
Everyone's copying each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think the way the climate is and just people looking for a quicker meal. I know KFC came out with a two-piece meal for under $5 or $6 or whatever it is. I think it's just kind of a copycat thing. Like when Popeyes came out with their delicious chicken sandwich, and then everybody just try to copy that. Just like here in the fast food war, Sonic said on Monday, each of the food items on its fun.99 set menu. So fun instead of one, I guess. We'll carry $1.99 price tags, not including tax. Customers could order things like a quarter pound double cheeseburger, chili cheese coney hot dogs, small tater tots, and 16-ounce shakes from the new value menu, the fast food chain said in a news release. The fun.99 menu also offers bacon ranch queso wraps and Southwest crunch queso wraps. Both sound delicious. Sonic said it's the first time the chain has offered the queso wraps. Sonic CMO Ryan Dickerson said the chain wanted to do something different, so it focused on variety with its new $1.99 value menu. Now more than ever, consumers are focused on affordable food options, but they shouldn't have to settle for the same old tired discounts or boring meals, he said. Many restaurant brands are touting value meals and discounts, and you see a lot of recycled ideas with limited options. Fast food consumers have in recent weeks seen value meal deals, as I just spoke about with Brett, debut nationwide for brands like Burger King, McDonald's, and Taco Bell to run for limited amounts of time, as previously reported by Fox Business. At Burger King and McDonald's, the meals cost $5, while Taco Bell's is priced at $7. Meanwhile, the fun.99 menu will be here to stay at Sonic's over 3,500 restaurants all day, every day, said the Inspired brand's own Sonic. Fast food eaters have been feeling the squeeze on their wallets. It's clear that broad-based consumer pressures persist around the world, McDonald's CEO Chris Kempczinski said. For example, noted in April, consumers continued to be even more discriminating with every dollar that they spend as they face elevated prices in their day-to-day spending, which is putting pressure on the QSR industry. This goes back to a lot of what John was talking about in previous shows and what I'm going to mention here. I mean, eating out now is just getting more and more expensive, and it's more and more a privilege to people. And, you know, we always used to think of fast food being a, you know, cheaper kind of not as healthy option as potentially eating at home. But now you see the prices, and people aren't going out to eat as much more. And you see the places like Sonic and McDonald's trying to bring them back in. All right. The number one story of the day, and we'll get to it with Jeff O'Brien at the top of the hour. But let's not waste any more time.
Number one.
A legal system that has dealt Donald Trump painful blows over the last 6 months has just granted him one of the most significant pieces of good news he's received since his campaign began. The U.S. Supreme Court, whose conservative supermajority was cemented by Mr. Trump's nomination, ruled on Monday that the former president is partly shielded from prosecution as he tries to fend off an indictment from the special counsel Jack Smith in connection with Mr. Trump's efforts to thwart the transfer of power after the 2020 election. The broad contours of the ruling that presidents would be entitled to substantial protection for official acts had been expected by political and court watchers for months. Nonetheless, Mr. Trump trumpeted it as a victory. The decision means that a trial in the case will almost certainly be pushed back until after the election. And should Mr. Trump win, the Justice Department is almost certain to drop the case, according to people close to Mr. Trump. Now, the president came out last night and spoke to the nation. And although he seemed alert and he seemed forceful, he was reading off a teleprompter. He took no questions. And he basically was a very, very short speech. It was not the 90 minutes that we saw last week. And we'll get to some comments later on Joe Biden and how the left is trying to push a narrative about his presidency that nobody is buying. And nobody bought the fact that Trump should have been prosecuted for this nonsense. So the immunity decision that came down was expected, but I don't think that it's going to have as much ramifications as some people think, because this is not a surprise. This is something that has been expected to come down, not only by Trump's team, but I'm sure on the left as well. And that's why they had Biden prepared with that response and why he looked so alert. But you go back to last week and he looked like a slurring mess. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. You can leave us a talk back on the iHeartRadio app about Trump or anything else that's on your mind this morning. We've got 1 hour down, two to go. Coming up next, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien joins me to talk about the story of the day. That's the Supreme Court's immunity decision that came down for Donald Trump. We'll have AK Kamara in the 8 a.m. hour. Some best of John Justice bits to come. Potentially a trivia quiz coming up with Brett and AK coming up later in the show. Some fun to be had. An action-packed 2 hours to go. One down. Robbie Rosenhaus here filling in for John Justice on Twin Cities News Talk. We'll be back right after this.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.